I hope you are having the best day, but if you're not, I'm telling you, after you watch this message, your day is gonna get a lot better. We are so excited around here because today we can tell you officially that Overflow the album is out now. Yes, you heard me, it is out. Your favorite songs, Overflow, Nothing At All, Evidence, what else is it? It's Anchored and Siempre Conmigo and Yahweh. And we get to worship with the songs that have been the sound of this house. Now you get to worship with them every day at the gym, with your kids, in the car. And two things I'm asking you. Number one, I want you to go actually buy it. We found out that it costs $5.99 to represent. And if all of us use our literal resource that we have, we can make an impact and put Christ in the middle of culture through this music. And the second thing is, I want you to make a reaction video to your favorite song. You worshiping to it, you journaling to it. I want you to send it back to us so that we can amplify that sound to the entire world. People need to know that there are people out here that worship God in spirit and in truth. And we're just adding music to it to allow us to all live transformed lives. I love you. I'm excited. Go listen, go buy, go stream, share it with everybody. This message right here is going to teach you how to live in the overflow. God bless you. Today we're starting week 7 of a series that we're calling Living in the Overflow. Yes, sir. And I'm taking a very direct posture for the rest of this series, because I'm tired of people living beneath and below what God has provided. Sick of it. More prayer requests come in for things that God promises. Sometimes I just be like, hey, he already said that this is ours. Why are you begging for what you already have access to? That leads me to two conclusions, that either we're ignorant or in the darkness of what we have access to, or we just don't believe it. And for me, as a pastor that actually wants people to win, I care nothing about building this church to be large. There are a lot of large gatherings that have no, watch this, fruit. My goal is for you to look at yourself this time next year and be like, oh my gosh, where did all this fruit come from? How did all the toxic relationships turn into relationships that push me towards purpose? How did all my negative words turn into words of me speaking life into other people? How did my pessimism on waking up and I didn't even want to live last year, how did it turn into me dreaming about 10 years from now? Like, do you understand what I'm saying? I want there to be, shout at me, fruit. Because the Bible tells us the only way they'll know your mind is by the fruit you have in your life. And I want every person, at least in this church and watching online, that's a part of this community, I want you to live in the overflow of what God has provided for you. But that means we gotta change our, everybody say minds. So today, I'm going to teach you about how to change your mind by having the right perspective. So write this down. If you're going to live in the overflow, you may need to change your outlook. If you're gonna live in the overflow, you may need to change your what? Could you bring me that real quick? And let me, Abby, I need your help for 1 second. Come help me real quick. Yeah. Okay, come here real quick. Now, Abby, I want you to tell me, what do you see? Stand right there. What do you see?
I see the back of a canvas.
She says, I see the back of a canvas. And what is on the back of this canvas? There's a piece of wood and some staples and a little thing where you can hang it up. May I submit to you that this is a masterpiece, but you're just in the wrong position. May I submit to you that your outlook is based on your position.
And as I'm sitting here, I'm looking at what this really is. And I'm looking at how beautiful God made what it really is. And I'm looking at how this thing blesses me all the time. But because of your position, you only see what your position allows you to see. The only way you get a different outlook on what is right in front of you is that you have to change positions. Come this way. Hold on, stop. Because most people, after they make one move, think they've done enough. Well, God, I did go to church. I did pray. I did it. And now you're mad because you don't see the masterpiece. Because you did work, but you stopped short because everybody is taking a position. And this is where people get frustrated. Because I tried it, I did it, and I'm going to stay in my position. Isn't that what culture's trying to get you to do? Take a position. But it's not until we make a decision that I am going to get into position to see what God has for me. Abby, come to the other side. Stop. Now she's right in alignment with what she has the opportunity to see. But if she keeps looking this way and never turns, she can have access to the masterpiece. But because she has not taken not her whole body into position, watch this. She has to change her head to be able to look and see what it is. If Abby would just turn her head, would you turn your head? Yeah, turn your head. You now have a glimpse of what was available. Okay. I'm asking people to not just say, I'm close to what God has for me. I know it's around here somewhere. I'm asking you to make a commitment to do what the Bible says. It's called repent. Which that word, all it means is to turn. She was over here, but Abby, I want you to come all the way on the other side. And now, when Abby looks at this picture, there is an completely different appreciation, a completely different admiration. And it's so crazy because I'm looking at the people over here and they still looking at the back while these people saw it the whole time. I don't know if you noticed it, but all the yes and the amens and the uh-huhs was coming from this side. Because what they saw, their position changed their praise. Oh my God. See, some of y'all are not praising God for what's right in front of you. Because you're looking at it from the wrong. This is the picture of my baby, Gia. She turns 3 tomorrow. It's my baby, yeah. This is the same picture. The picture never changed. The position did. If you're gonna see all of the promises of God, may I submit to you, God may not change your situation. He may not turn it around. Uh-oh. He may not turn it around. You may have to change your. What if God keeps you at the same job? He promised me elevation. He said, I am not going to be in this valley, this purgatory. Hold on, wait. What if he doesn't change the job, but he changes your perspective? He changes your outlook. It's still this. But maybe you need a different outlook. Could you give God praise for that right now? Thank you so much, Abby. You didn't know you was going to be my stagehand too. I appreciate that. If you're going to live in the overflow, you may need to change your outlook. Because there may be some things that you are forfeiting because of the position you're looking at your situation in. Are you forfeiting the promise of God because of your position? Well, I hate school. Is that just your position right now? That the enemy would allow you to feel so defeated in that one area because maybe God has a purpose for you on the other side of that? Maybe you're supposed to start schools. So the very reason that God would give you a burden, but then make you hate it before you even had the opportunity to even answer the call of God, is because it would keep you in the same position. Let me be very clear with you. Some of y'all have said to yourself, you hate learning. And for the thing you're praying for God to do, he said, there's gonna be another 5 years of learning. Would you take a different position to get a fresh, everybody say outlook. And I've been convinced that the overflow, living in God's overflow, has a lot to do with your outlook. How do you see it? And I found this story in Numbers chapter 13, if you would go there. And let me give you some context. The children of Israel have been saved and brought out. They're following Moses. Moses and the whole squad is like, are we just going to stay out here in the desert? And God was like, nope, I have promised you a land flowing with milk and honey. They like, where it at though? And so then they're sitting in this place where they have to actually obey God to see the promises. Let me say it one more time. You have to actually obey God to see his promises come to pass in your life. And so God, through Moses, tells them to send 12 spies, into Canaan and to go and actually survey the land that God is already going to give to them. Okay. Let me show you in the Bible. Numbers chapter 13. I want to start at verse 1 and then we're going to skip around. It said, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan. Watch this. Huge, important part. God talking to you, which I am giving to the children of Israel. No doubt. Somebody say, it's mine. I need you to send the man from each tribe and of their fathers, and every one of these men are leaders. So he's sending leaders from each tribe to go actually do a scouting report on the land that God is already giving them. I could preach a whole message right here that I can't preach, but why are you believing for something you've never gotten a report on? Some of us, we think that God's just gonna do it. He said, I need you to go learn some things first. And I need you to bring me back a report so that you can actually know what you're going up against. So he sends these people in here, and then I'm gonna drop down to verse 27. It says, these men went into the land. These men brought back grapes where it took two people to hold them. They had seen things that they had never seen in their home, the wilderness, or ever before. It was a place of overflow. They come back to report to the people, and the only thing that changed the entire trajectory of millions of people was the outlook of 10 people. And today, I want to ask you, do you have an outlook of an overcomer? Because if you do not have the outlook of an overcomer, you will talk yourself out of what God already gave you. And you will never live in the overflow. The outlook of an overcomer. Somebody say, I will have the outlook of an overcomer. Say it one more time. I will have the outlook of an overcomer. This is so important because your outlook changes the destiny of so many people you've never met yet. Okay. Y'all don't believe me, but y'all about to see it in this story right now. Verse 27, 13:27. It says, then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. And this is the fruit. And they're like, look at this, y'all. Look at how big these grapes is. And then they said, nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak, and they big, big. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Gladasites and the Amorites, and they dwell, the Canaanites, all of the ites. Okay? Verse 30. Then Caleb said, shut up! He stood in front of the people and he said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. I'm talking about the outlook of an overcomer. I did see the giants, but I also saw the fruit. I did see what they said about me, but I also heard what God said about me. I did see the obstacles, but I also see the opportunity. What is the outlook that you have when you face the opposition in the promised land? And for most of us, we take the attitude of these next dudes. Where they hold on, wait, time out. We scared. These giants over here, they literally said, we are like grasshoppers in our own eyes. Hold on, wait. And then it says in the Bible, and they think that too. You didn't talk to the giants. Because of your own insecurities, you projected onto them what you felt about yourself. Now, do you remember this is the land that God said, I'm giving it to you. I'm giving you this. I'm giving you this. Yes, you're going to have to go against opposition, but I'm giving it to you. And they were supposed to come back with a report that just watch this. Oh, thank you, Jesus. They were supposed to tell everybody what they observed, not give them their opinion. And too many times when God tells us to do something, what we were supposed to observe and take information down on to know how that we go back to God and say, how do we attack this? We then take and assume that we cannot do this and we put our opinion on it. And don't just keep it with ourselves. We give it to other people. Okay, all right. Six ways to maintain the outlook of an overcomer. I'm gonna just give you six ways. The reason I gotta do this is because this is what I've found has held me as an anchor through every season of my life, is my outlook. I have an outlook of faith that no matter what is in front of me currently in this situation, I can overcome this. Somebody say, I can overcome this. Think of the biggest thing that has you shaking right now on the inside. You're not showing it on the outside, but there are some things that make you quiver on the inside. I want you to see that situation as just another opportunity for God to prove himself as a mighty king. Somebody say, I can overcome this. I know that this has taken a lot for you to say because you've never faced anything this big before. And you've never seen this much hurt or pain or opposition. But if you keep the outlook of an overcomer, you will see the giants in your life fall over and over and over again. Because the Bible says, if God be for you, who can be against you? And some of us have stopped showing up to even contend for the promise that God has given us because we do not want to look like we don't believe God, so we don't even put our faith out there so it doesn't have to get disappointed. Y'all didn't hear what I just said. Some of y'all come to church, this is the most faith you use to get to church on time. And this is what I'm telling you right now, that ain't using faith. What God wants you to do is believe him for the things that are beyond what you can do with your own ability. Oh God, all right, I just gotta start telling you, all right. Six ways to maintain the outlook of an overcomer. Number one, change your outlook. Your perspective may hold the key to your promise. Change your outlook. This is what I'm asking you to do right now. If you are given an outlook from your parents or your community or your culture that goes against the word of God, change it. Some of us are more committed to the culture we grew up in than the Christ and the character that he wants us to live in. I ran into one of my family members. They will remain nameless in this moment. But they had this idea that they could use people's stuff and use it, like buy something, use it, and return it. I'm in your business now. I'm gonna use my family, but apply it where it's necessary. And hear me. I'm not talking about seeing if it works and then like taking, I'm talking about wearing it. I'm talking sweat streaks. I'm talking using the product and filling it back up with water. And I said, why you do that? It's like, well, I mean, I gotta take care of all my coins. And they started talking about, they were trying to convince me it was good stewardship. Now, y'all, I'm not coming at anybody. They were trying to convince me that them stealing was good stewardship. Y'all should see how tight it is right now. Because there are people trying to amen, but then they thinking of an actual situation where they do the same thing. So just look at me, look straight. And then proceeded in the next breath to ask me to borrow some money. Now, I didn't even go into the full explanation because what I was about to have to go into was dismantling a cultural principle that went against the word of God. And they weren't ready for that conversation. They thought that they were doing the right thing because they were committed. And I said, why do you do this? It's like, this is how my mama did it. This is how my family, y'all don't do. They looked at me as if I was strange for paying for something. And if I used it, I didn't take it back. Yeah. And I said, God, what is it? He said, there are many people that are living today that are more committed to the way, the culture, the surrounding of how they grew up than they are embracing a character that reflects Christ. Amen. That's so good. So today, I just want you to take inventory. Pastor Mike, why are you being so strong? Because I want you to have fruit in your life. If you have an outlook on something that goes against the word of God, change it. Just be open to not being mad at all white people. Uh-oh. They thought I was going to say something. I know. They didn't think I would talk about it. I know. You was raised in the deep. I know there was discrimination. I know. But what I'm saying to you today is that blaming the man for your laziness? They don't want me to. You don't want to. It's not they don't want. You don't want to get up. Like, and it can go the other way around. Come on, there's some people that love this word and you're watching online right now because you can't be seen in here. It would be bad for your real estate firm. Because he has the ethnic hair. And what I'm saying to y'all, if y'all, either we gonna be real or we not going, we gonna tell. But if the vehicle God uses to bless your life look like this, could you potentially take a different stance on, change it? If there's an outlook that you are embracing right now that is keeping you in bondage. See, promised land is right over there. They can literally see it. They stay out of it because of their outlook. Has anybody ever felt like the change, the transformation, the release? It's like right there. I can almost feel it. But there's never a full, like, how do I get off in this thing? It might be your outlook. Are you in a season of isolation or a season of preparation? It's the same season. It's just a different app. Are you in a season of loneliness or are you in a season of watch this? Oh, I got so many words right here. You remember when God wanted to make something special, he called it holy. The word holy just means separated. You sound just so lonely. No. I'm trying to make something holy in you. I'm trying to separate you from it. Well, my friends, don't call no more. You prayed for this. You don't want that. You don't need that temptation right now. I'm trying to make you into who you prayed to be. But because of your outlook, your perspective may hold the keys to your promise. And this is one of the things that I've made a decision that, like my outlook is filtered through God's word. And so when my outlook is filtered through God's word, I do some things that are a little different. And it's cool. I've just made a decision that I'm not better than you, but I am different than you. Who he think he is, all this da-da-da-da-da. No. You don't know the decisions I made when nobody was there. You don't know that I've been believing in crazy faith before I was a pastor, before there was a church, before there was anybody giving. I would be doing what I'm doing on another level. I got people in a room that's proof. I've written down stuff that have come to pass since I was in sixth grade. What you're experiencing is the overflow. So when people come in this part of the journey, they think I'm some character. That's trying. Look at that pastor with that leather jacket and this Dan and the little sparkles on his shoes. Baby, I was doing this when I was buying it from Salvation Army. These were Jerry. Never mind. This is me. It's me. And the reason that God continues to bless me is because I will not put on a different version for anybody else. Hear me. I'm trying to give you a secret today. You need to change your outlook that it's okay if it lines up with God's word to be different. And when you walk in that, that means sometimes when your family's doing something, you can't do it. Oh gosh. That means if y'all always talk like this when we get, some of y'all only cuss when you go back around them. Your language has completely changed. But oh, what the F up, baby? You know who we is. Oh, what's going on? How did you doing all of this stuff? You don't talk like that no other time. But as soon as you get in the environment that makes you feel familiar, some of y'all can't go home, because if you go home and post back at home, there's six DMs coming to you. And they know that you'll be up looking at a ceiling somewhere in about 14 hours, because when you get back in that environment, y'all better hear what I'm saying. It's time for somebody to change your outlook, because if you don't, you will be stuck in a place that keeps you in prison when the promise is right there. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm not better than you, but I'm different than you. So when everybody's complaining, I'm going to speak life. When everybody's saying I can't, I'm going to say, but God will make a way that I can. I'm not better than you, but I am different than you. When everybody got to be broken, busted, and disgusted to serve God, I bet you I won't. I bet you I'm going to be a lender and not a borrower. I bet you that I'm going to help people in the time of need. I'm not better, but I am different. They hate on me, I'll bless you. I got to filter it through the word of God. So if you have an outlook that doesn't line up with the word of God, everybody say change it. My outlook on losing weight and being healthy was that I could not do it. So the reason it didn't happen until 3.5 years ago is not because I wasn't physically able. It was because I was mentally blocked. Oh my God. Many of the things that you are trying to do does not have anything to do with your physical ability. It has to do with your mental disability. And when I say that, I'm not talking about something wrong with your learning. I'm talking about you have disabled yourself to think and see yourself differently than you are right now. You can't see yourself without sitting up in the bed at night eating the Wingstop and the Bluebell. I'm using my own testimony, so don't feel offended. This is me. Cookies and cream, root beer float. Wow. Spicy corn parmesan. With the ranch. Yes. Okay. There's a miracle in that ranch. I don't know what they do. I'll drive back for the ranch. I'm like, they didn't give me no. I'm not using none of this other ranch, this weak ranch I got at the house. I need two ranches, please. I need the overflow. Let me stop. But y'all see what? But because your outlook has never changed, that's not even a possibility for you. You stay right there. So if you want to change your outlook and have an outlook of an overcomer, the first thing that you do is somebody say, change your outlook. Second thing, check your informants. Because these men came back with the destiny of millions of peoples in their outlook. So two men are over here like, yo, we about to go back and take, yo, that house over there, that's going to be my house. Them grades all day. I'm about to. And 10 other dudes came back and say, guys, listen. We've calculated the actual chances of us being successful in this endeavor, and looks like we're staying here. And listen, the reason I say check your informants is because there are people speaking to you right now that, watch this, are either being effective to help you go towards purpose, or they're infecting you to draw you away from purpose. Oh, gosh. Check your informants, because informants without faith infect your future. They all saw the same thing, but two had faith when they saw it. And the other ones did not. And when they came to the people, it literally was a transfer, watch this, of spirits. Have you ever been around somebody and they was in a bad mood and they gave that thing to you? Oh, y'all know what I'm talking about? Like somebody who just came in and you're like, And it was like, how you doing? I guess I'm here. And then you're like, I guess I'm here too. And then you know what I'm saying? And 5 minutes with them, somebody else comes in. Hey, John. Like, hey, hey. It's a transfer. You weren't even feeling that. But because who you allow yourself to listen to, it changes your outlook. In the same way, have you ever run into somebody with a lot of joy? And you was having a bad day, and they was like, oh my God, it's so good. It's so, I didn't know I was going to see you, but hey. And that joy. Whoever is informing you about your situation, make sure they have faith a part of the equation. This is why you can't listen to your girlfriend or your boyfriend who is not actually listening to God. Because God will tell you something that he's already given you. And he sends somebody else to bring you a report back. And depending if they have faith in their own life, they will project on you what they think God won't do for them. And he's already said he'll do it for you. And if you believe them, you will stay stuck. I can't tell you how many people told me that this would never work. People told me there's no way white people and black people, Tulsa, Oklahoma, gonna come together at the same church, and you're gonna still, you know, you're gonna still do all of that? Like, you're gonna worship like that? Like, you're gonna, you know. There's no way you could buy that building. There's no. I appreciate your illegitimate concern. But I'm gonna go talk to some people with faith. Tammy, can God do something through our little church on the north side? Bishop, can God do something? Scott, you think, Pastor Debbie, you think, Mom and Dad, y'all think that God could do this? We came over here and walked this building without the money. Look at this land that God's gonna give us. Bishop, take a picture of me. And Bishop took the first picture of me in this building. Was me, us breaking in. I think the statute of limitations is, we own it now. Us breaking in. I mean, not breaking in, because some of y'all, I mean, the door was open. We didn't have no appointment or nothing, but we just walked in. They did call security, but we just walked in. Like, do you know what we were doing though, right? We were getting our scouting report. Y'all missed it. I had to know what it felt like to walk into a building like this. I had to see the people. I had to be able to stand there and imagine you worshiping like you're worshiping right now. I had to hear it. I had to go into the promised land before I possessed it. And I had an outlook of an overcomer. Yeah, we're gonna have to pay for it. Yeah, we're gonna have to talk to the city. Yeah, we're gonna have to soundproof it. If I would have stopped at every obstacle, we didn't have a stage the first week we came here. Did y'all hear what I'm saying? Oh, well, I guess God left us. We don't have a stage. No, I would have preached from the floor. Because opposition for an overcomer is just another opportunity. Ooh, that's nasty. Opposition for an overcomer is just another. So I gotta change my outlook. I gotta check my informants. And then watch this. You gotta challenge your insecurities. Okay? Let me tell you, Joshua and Caleb, they're sitting here literally looking at everybody, tell the people, we can't do this. And they saw the same thing, so they probably was like, hold on, can we do this? Is this okay for us to do? Right. Okay, God, I believe we can do this, but should I say anything? I don't want to ruffle no feathers. I'm an introvert. I'm gonna just play the background right now. I'm gonna just let them, you know, do their thing. And I mean, me and God know what it is. But he puts you in a leadership position. He puts you in influence over somebody. When God trusts you with leadership over anybody, influence over anybody, he's never asking you to play the background. He's always asking you to speak up and bring his will into the equation. And so because I don't think y'all understand what Joshua and Caleb are about to have to do. They're about to have to check everybody in the nation. Y'all missed it. This is not a small group. This is not their church congregation. They're about to have to go against, watch this, culture. So before you stand up and go against culture with what God said, you got to check your own insecurities. If you want to keep the right outlook, you have to tell yourself, this ain't about me. I'm here on behalf of God. This is not about my Instagram followers and my aesthetic. Oh, it got quiet. Because some of y'all are concerned about somebody you knew in eighth grade, how they view you. You ain't seen them since eighth grade, and they don't even look how fine you thought they looked back then. Stacy James, she was like the finest person in the world in eighth grade. She don't look like that no more. But God has asked you to be a leader in a space, and you, because you haven't checked your own insecurities, will not step up. And if you don't check your own insecurities like Joshua and Caleb had to do, then you won't do the next one. Because if you're going to keep the outlook of an overcomer, watch this, you are going to have to at some point confront the culture. Every Christian that at some point is not going to confront the culture, I actually question, do you really believe God? Because there are things that are regular in culture that are completely against what God believes. Now, I didn't say be a butthole. I didn't say, because some Christians, I went to the game, that same game I went to. There was a dude outside. Repent, you're going to hell. Gates of fire, you think the basketball game is going to save you? And I, literally, my wife was like, she was like, Mike, why are you doing that? And I was like this. Because I didn't want nobody to see me next to him because I'm like, this ain't the way to do it. Even if you want to give me $1 million, like, don't yell at me. Don't tell me I'm going to hell. Like, that's not. But he was convinced he was confronting the culture. I'm saying with love, with their future in mind. With you may not even understand why this matters to you right now, but I gotta step up and say something. I gotta do this because God is compelling me to step across the line and actually face my own insecurities and say this to you. Shut up! This is what Caleb has to do. We should go right now. John, get your stuff. Susie, come on, pack the kids. We are well able to do what they said we can't do. Somebody say, I am well able. Say it with faith. Say it with faith. He stood up, confronted culture because he was compelled by God. When's the last time you stood up? I'm not talking about on a social media platform. That's weak. I'm talking about, hey, boss, real quick. There seems to be like a real toxic atmosphere in our, you know what I'm saying? Like this, yeah. Do you think we could have a conversation about how to, you know, actually work with people you disagree with and act in love in a work environment? Never thought about that. Never thought that was possible. I don't have the tools to even do that. So it wasn't an option. But when a Caleb steps up, when somebody with God on the inside of them steps up, maybe something can change that would never change if you actually get in position. He confronts culture. And guess what they do to him? That is a not good idea. We're gonna go with these guys' idea. What happens when you do what God said, but they don't listen? See, this is where most people give up. And that's where your outlook gets dim. But Joshua and Caleb was like, all right, cool. What do I have to hang my hat on? I did what God said. I kept an outlook of an overcomer. And I'm going to do this last thing. I'm going to commit that even though they're not doing this, I'm going to commit to a different spirit. See, when you confront the culture, you use your voice to cast God's vision. But when you commit to a different spirit, you cultivate daily what matters in eternity. What's different about your spirit? What's different about how you face situations? What's different? Do you pray about it? Do you speak life over it? Do you stand in the face of adversity and say, I know my God is able? What do we sing in praise and worship? He's able. What is different about you? And what I found out is having a different spirit is the thing that changed the trajectory of Caleb and Joshua's whole life. Y'all want to see it? Because when you commit to a different spirit, you see prayer as a connection to God. You see worship as a weapon. You see community as protection. Some of us need to make a decision that we are committing, even if nobody else does it. I'm going to keep the outlook of an overcomer, and I'm going to be committed to a different spirit. In Numbers 14, 23, it says, okay, let me just give you context. God was sick of these people. When I say sick of them, after they decided to take the outlook of the 10 spies who were pessimistic and did not have faith, and they wanted, God said, fine. Matter of fact, they want to stay in the valley, I'll kill them all right now. Y'all read the Bible. He was like, I'm gonna smite them. And listen who comes to their defense, Moses. Now, how gangster is it to have a relationship with God that you can convince him not to kill the people he made? I mean, y'all gotta go read it. It's the funniest story. Moses is like, all right, God, all right, cool. All right, they are roguish and they did not listen. But do you wanna be known as the God who just, you know, that ain't how the PR, you don't want that smoke. This is the Michael Living Translation version of this, okay? He was like, you don't want to be known for that. Okay, forgive them because you are God of love, remember? Love. God is love. He's reminding, no, literally, you got to read it. He's convincing, hey, just forget him and then be God, but just let them suffer in the consequences of them not believing. And this is God's response, verse 23. They certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I'll bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Caleb didn't fight differently. He just looked differently. There was no big war or fight that he had to do. He said, because he had a different spirit and his outlook was one of an overcomer, I'll take him and Joshua. 2 out of 2 million will see what I promised them. I don't know. See, people, this is where people are like, why would God do that? If he was a loving God, why wouldn't he just let, he said he tried. He tried over and over. I mean, this is the same group of people where Moses would go up to pray and they was down having to kick back and building golden calves and worshiping other gods. Like this, they wild. And God said, all right, I'm gonna bring them to the promised land. Canaan, it's right there. Just get the right outlook. And they couldn't do it. And because they didn't have the right outlook, why are you saying this, Pastor Mike? Because maybe your situation is not changing yet. But maybe your outlook could change today. I don't want your outlook to keep you out of the promise. I don't want how you're looking at this situation to keep you from what God has, watch this, already prepared for you. And that's why when I look at this scripture, I come to one conclusion. God honors the outlook of faith. He remembered Caleb. Not because he prayed a great prayer, not because he did some amazing feat. It's because when he looked at the opposition, he had an outlook of faith. When you look at your marriage right now, do you have an outlook of faith? I know the passion is not there, but could you see it being there? Could you see y'all actually being able to make it through a vacation without arguing? I know your kids are far from God right now and don't care nothing. They think you the crazy praying mama. But do you have an outlook that maybe one day that all of these seeds that I've sown into other people's children and praying for them, that somebody one day will come around and God will do the same thing? Do you at least have the outlook? You can't make it happen. I'm not saying for you to white knuckle your way through a situation, but I know you're in that apartment with all them kids and they on top of each other sharing bits. But could you have an outlook like that maybe one day that God's not just going to provide a house for you, but he's going to allow you to provide a house for somebody else? Could you? I'm not saying that you got to make it happen. I know you can't barely read the Bible right now, but you feel the sense of God calling you into ministry. Could you get the outlook that maybe God will illuminate the scriptures to me and one day I'll have revelation coming out of my mouth? I know you can barely sing, but God said that you would write songs that would go all over the nations. Could it be? Today, church, if you want to live in the overflow, I need you to change your outlook. Can I tell you a real story? God called me to pastor and I didn't want to. Can I be honest with you? This is not my profession of choice. Let me be very clear. I did not get a word on a mountain that was like, yes, this was out of obedience. And the reason that it was so hard is because I was already good at something else. I had a career path made. I was going to be a music producer. And I was going to make music for the stars. And I was going to sit back in my house in Miami. It didn't happen, so just hold on. I was going to sit back in my house in Miami and South Beach, completely South Beach. And I was going to write checks to people who did ministry. I was going to make sure my parents' conference and anybody who did a conference, yeah, stop asking the people for money. This booty shaking song made me a lot of money here. Go save some, y'all, can I be honest? And so, when God called me into ministry, he said, give up music. I said, you're not asking for this. He said, give it up. I said, hold on, wait. 20-something years of my life has been spent perfecting this skill. Yeah. This is not a hobby for me. This is my purpose. He said, no, being with me is your purpose. That's just a tool. And he made me put music on the altar. And he made me pick up the knife. And he said, if I tell you, I want you to kill it. And I said, God. And then one day something switched about a year into the ministry. I got a different outlook. Like about a year into it, I was like, well, if God had to use music to get me into purpose, it worked. Now watch, because the way that I got to Greenwood is I produced music for their conference. And after I produced music for their conference, they asked me to stay around and run sound. And then I started becoming the music director. Music was my parents started a church called Spirit and Truth. And the Holy Spirit was like, you could at least help them with the music. And it was just step after step after step after step where God used what was my passion to put me in position. So that he could actually do what he really wanted to do in my life. And so, because my outlook changed, I got a different spirit about it. Well, music was that season. And if God wants to do something else, I'll work on it for another 20 years. I'll become the best pastor. I'll love people. I'll figure out how to preach. I'm gonna learn how to pray. I got a different spirit about it. Instead of being like, God took this away from me, it was like God used this to get me where he needed to be. And do you know what God did? He honored my outlook of faith. Can you bring me that real quick? This past week, I didn't know this was going to happen, but Transformation Church released Overflow, the album, and this is what y'all did. Remember I told you we were going to come together in unity and we were going to represent God? In systems, in worlds that they don't care about what Christians do, but once we come together in unity and we make a concerted effort, then they have to notice? Well, this is an article that was written by Billboard. Y'all don't hear what I just said. This is an article written by a not Christian company. It says, Transformation Worship's Overflow debuts at number one on Christian and gospel album charts. Let me read the article. It says, Christian and gospel worship music collective Transformation Worship arrives at number one on Billboard's top Christian album and top gospel album charts with Overflow. The set, which was recorded live, is at the act's entry on both lists, first time. It says, the Tulsa, Oklahoma-based Transformation Worship launched at the city's same name church led by Pastor Michael Todd. The album, which while seven songs long runs 54 minutes, includes hit makers from both the Christian and gospel music genres, including Todd Delaney, Torn Wells, Fred Hammond, Overflow Live may be the album of the year. Can't nobody tell me what God can do. Now listen, I believe this is God honoring my outlook. Because I didn't get bitter and mad that he didn't do it the way I wanted him to do it. 15 years later, he allowed the first thing that we put out to the world to be recognized on the highest. It literally, y'all, they told us it was number 8 in emerging artists and number 13 albums sold in any genre. Y'all don't, I'm not talking Christian and gospel. Y'all. Pastor Mike, why are you showing this? It's because this is what will happen when you look at a hard situation and you say, no, I'm going to have the outlook of an overcomer. God didn't put this here to take me out. He put this here for me to go over. And if he is with me and for me, then I can take up my space. Another way you can say it is, I got dominion. And I was supposed to tell y'all earlier, but listen, don't tell nobody. But listen, don't even scream yet because they're not supposed to know. This right here, I done gone against all the rules of all the people in all the high places. And today for transformation, I have gotten them just on our situation at the Represent store. You can go right now and pre-order for $5.99 the entire Dominion album, okay? Now listen, shh. Because they didn't want me to do this, but they didn't take away my computer. All you have is all you need. I've uploaded just for anybody who purchases the album in the next day or so, because they probably gonna make me take it down. But I went to the studio last week and I did an Afrobeat version of Overflow. Now watch. If you go and buy it before it goes down, I'm sending you an email today of that track. I don't even know if it's coming out. It's so fire. Q, you're not supposed to tell people you heard it. It's so fire, but it's only for the people who believed in the vision when so many others didn't. Today I'm asking you, church, I want you to get an outlook of faith so that you can see the promises of God. This is one thing, y'all. This is one thing. But I'm letting you know it's real today. Because if not, generations of people will suffer because you didn't believe God. Think about all the other people whose kids who were not born would never experience the promised land because they didn't have the faith to believe. Would you stand everywhere else? The last thing I want to tell you, as we've gone through all these points, y'all just hear me, 5 minutes and we're out of here. If you're going to maintain an outlook of an overcomer, you have to change your outlook. You have to check your informants. You have to challenge your insecurities. You're going to have to confront culture. You're going to have to commit to a different spirit. Last thing, collect your evidence. I had them print that big because that's going on my wall in the gym. Because there'll be another giant that I face that I will try to forget that I have history with God. And many times you just got to remind yourself that I've been through valleys before. And I've been through pain before. And I've been through hurt. But I got to collect your evidence. I got to collect my evidence. There are things that God has done that you forget about because you won't put it in front of you. I keep that crazy faith paper with me all the time. Why, Pastor Mike? Because anytime that I come into a moment where I don't believe, I got evidence that God has already done this. God always leaves proof of his promises. Has anybody in this place ever seen God heal them or somebody around them hands? Okay, put them down. Has anybody seen their marriage changed and transformed because of what God has done in their life? Okay. So for everybody, look at me. For everybody, watch this, that doesn't have evidence of their own, this is why you come to church. It's because you can borrow somebody else's evidence. Oh, you missed it. So we're reading their story, the story of Joshua and Caleb. But my question is, will they be able to read the story of Charles and Abby? Will they be able to read the story of Kimba and Cordell and Keisha? Will they be able to read the story of Brentham and Zoe? Will they ever be able to read the story of Fawn and John? Will they be able to read the story of your faith? Because I'm the only Bible some people are going to ever get to see. Today, if you need evidence of God's proof of his promises, just look around. That's why we say, I am confident that we are evidence. Yes, you are faithful and you are God. Yes, I am confident that we are evidence. It's all around, it's all around. That you are faithful and you are God. Today I want to pray for every person under the sound of my voice that you would from this day on operate with a different spirit. I don't know what that means for you, but when everybody else is going down this crazy path, you say, no, I'm putting it through the filter of my God. And I'm about to operate with a different spirit. If that's something you desire, would you just lift your hands online in the room? I'm going to pray for you. Yeah. This is you just identifying, I want a different spirit. So God, here we are. No pomp and circumstance, no confetti, no lights, no pyro, just your children. Asking, would you do a work on the inside of our hearts and in our minds that give us the ability to, in the face of everything looking like it's not going to work out, that we would have a different spirit. We would have the outlook of an overcomer. Father, there are people under the sound of my voice that are facing things, Father God, that seem overwhelming, insurmountable, Father God, and actually downright unfair. But in this place today, Father, I thank you that their outlook would be shifted to one of faith. That they would have the faith to believe that you can change the situation. And even if you don't change it, you can change them in the situation. Today, I thank you that we would be a people like Joshua and Caleb that would look at giants and imagine them falling. That we would be a people, Father God, that would not just do it for us, but we would do it for the generations to come. You told Joshua and Caleb, because of their outlook, their children's children would inherit the promise. Today, Father God, I thank you that the selfishness that would try to make us stay silent and step back would no longer be able to control us. Would you allow the Holy Spirit to be the different spirit on the inside of us? For your word says you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Today, Father, would you be strong on the inside of us? And I declare, Father, as opposition comes this week, we won't back down or back up. We will stand in the authority that you have given us as children. Yes. With the grace that we don't deserve, but we get to put on every day. And Father God, we will have an outlook of an overcomer for those who it's very hard right now with all the death and the frustration and the confusion around them. God, would you be the Prince of Peace in their life right now? In this sincere prayer, those who are facing, Father God, financial hardships, frustrations that are taking over their thoughts and process, they're acting out of character. Father God, would you just leave a peace that gives them the ability to continue to move forward. For the child that doesn't know where they're going to school next year. For the couple who is about to call it quits because they're sick of fighting. For the person who got the bad report this week. Today, God, I thank you that every obstacle is an opportunity for you to be God and to show us and show others that we shall overcome. Today, God, we honor you. Would you be the God that you were to Joshua and Caleb for us? And I declare we will see the promised land. Even in this moment right now, there's a tender moment right now because some people are coming out of wrong thinking. They're coming out of, I hear it like this. God says you're no longer going to be the victim. I wouldn't say this, but he just keeps, like, my prayer, it was hard to even get it out because God said, you're changing positions. From a young age, things have happened to you. I don't know exactly who this is for, but I'm prophesying. I feel this super strong that God says today the word was for you to change your outlook. You are no longer the victim. It did happen to you. And God protected you. And now he's changing your position. And you're about to become a victor. You are going to be such a victor in situations that God is going to allow you to rescue other people. Hear me. You can't even see it yet. But today, God stopped this service to let you know that what you have been a victim to will be under your feet. Hear what I'm saying to you right now. Somebody's receiving this word. I'm telling you right now, it's almost as if whenever God says something, there's a thief that has come to say there's no way you can do that because of what you did and what happened to you. And God says today, this whole message was to change your outlook. You will stand on the testimony of everything that happened to you. And God is going to use it to bring people to his kingdom. Receive the word of the Lord. You are no longer a victim. You will bring people to victory because your outlook's changing right now in the name of Jesus. Yes, I am confident that we are evidence. You are faithful. You are God. Something sweet is happening right now. Yeah. Yes, I am confident. Somebody's hope is being restored. We are evidence. It's because of the grace of Jesus. You are faithful. You are God. Some of you are going back to that job tomorrow, and it's going to be like you've never been there before. Your outlook is about to change. Every place that you saw frustration, you're about to actually see freedom. You're going to say, oh my goodness, this is an opportunity for God to use this skill. This is an opportunity. I'm telling you, there is about to be an outlook change. Some of y'all going back to that house, you're going to get inspired to decorate. You've been ready to move, and you're going to walk back in that thing like, hold up. Wait a minute. Let me put some paint in it. And you're going to go to Sherwin-Williams and you're going, no, I just need an accent wall right here. And then you're going to get a different out. Some of y'all are going to go back to that closet. And you're going to say, you know what? I don't want to wear these clothes no more. I don't want to be this unhealthy anymore. And so tomorrow I'm going, matter of fact, tonight I'm going walking. Because I'm gonna just walk this block until I lay aside every weight. See, y'all don't read the scripture. It's not just sin, it's every weight and the sin that's so easily. But if you could just get a different outlook that every step you take, you're walking towards a version of you that can fulfill God's purpose without pain. Somebody say, I'm getting a different outlook. Hear me. If you're in this place and you've never received Jesus, there is a sweet presence in this place right now. If you're in this place and you've never received Jesus and you want to make him your personal Lord and Savior, the only thing that changes your outlook is a relationship with him. And today I want to give you that opportunity. At Transformation Church, we're a bunch of regular people who had ratchet lives that God saved us. Now, some of us didn't look ratchet. We looked buttoned up. But under all of that, it was filthy. Okay? And so you're in the right place to admit you need a Savior, because everybody else in here has done that. That's why we go so hard and we're actually trying and we try to pray and we try to ask for forgiveness. It's because we know that we don't deserve what God did for us. But every day we are walking towards him, trying to get a greater relationship and understanding of who he is on this earth. And today, if you want that, I want to offer you Jesus. Some churches don't do this no more because they think you should know. But because of how messed up I was a liar, a manipulator, addicted to pornography. I had a lot of bad things in my heart, and I decided, God, I can't change my outlook by myself. Could you give me principles and your word and your love to help me change? And as soon as I received him and accepted him, my world began to shift. Today is that day for you. If you're in this room, I don't care how much money you make. I don't care how many businesses you got. I don't care how many times you've done what I've done. If you are out of the will of God right now, if you're away from him, if you've never put your faith in him, today is the day of salvation for you. Today, God wants to say, come on home, so that you can be exactly where I've called you to be. If that's you, on the count of three, I just want you to shoot your hand up. Ain't nothing magical going to happen out here. Ain't no confetti. All we going to do is clap, because we know that you just changed generations of your family. And more than that, your eternity is secure. And now you get help in this life. If you want to make Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior in this sweet atmosphere, one, you're making the greatest decision of your life. Two, I'm proud of you, but more than that, your name is going to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Three, shoot your hand up all over this building. I see you, my brother. I see you, my brother. I see you. I see you. Hands up. I see you. Glory to God. I see you. And more than I see you, God sees you. Can somebody give God praise? If you're online, would you just shoot your hand up? Hey, at Transformation Church, nobody prays alone. So would you all lift your hands and just say, God, thank you for sending Jesus to change my outlook. Today, I need you. I believe you lived. And you die just for me. Change me. Renew me. Transform me. I'm yours. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we turn up with heaven right now? The Bible says they rejoice over one person. I know there was at least 10 or 15 in here. And countless others online. Hallelujah. Hey, walk with us. And let us walk with you. I feel the presence of God in this place. If you need prayer for anything, I want you to know that we're here to pray for you. The worship team's gonna sing one more song. Today, that little song we've been singing, Impossible Nothing At All, the music video for it is gonna release today at 3:00. So if you go on YouTube, you can do that. We're gonna keep putting this music out here so people can get transformed. Remember, prayer and Bible study on Wednesday night. If you want to keep walking and dig deeper into God, come rock with us. Next Sunday, I got a word. God already told me what I'm going to preach. Y'all get ready. It's going to be good. And what else am I forgetting? If you go to therepresentstore.com, and if you order the Dominion album right now, tonight you can be rocking to something nobody else is rocking to, that Overflow remix. It's going to be amazing. I want you to do it. I want to fall out in the presence of God right now, because this thing is on me. Yes, I am confident that we are evidence. You are. If you need prayer for anything, come to the altar. You are God. Service is dismissed. We love you. Go out and live a transformed life. But I feel the presence of God right here. Yeah.
Hey, I want to take a moment again before we jump off and say thank you. Our church is not built on one individual, but on the sacrifice of so many. And you being a part, it means the world. So thanks for watching the message. I also want to say thank you to the thousands of people around the world who are generous. It means the world. And we are able to represent, we're able to be generous and meet the needs of people because of your giving. If you haven't taken the step to give, trust me, there is no pressure at all. But if you feel led, you can text the word give to 828282, or you can go online. When we partner together, God uses our generosity to make a difference. Again, if you haven't, take a moment to subscribe to the YouTube channel. And more than watch it on YouTube, join us on Sundays. And like we always say, go out and live a transformed life.